You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Luke chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse number 40. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet, and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only a daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a lying, but as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, and touched the border of his garment. Immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.' While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master.'"
Thank you. You may be seated. The story doesn't end there, but we'll get to that part in just a little while. I want to thank Brother Mike for singing that song, and really that song is what the message is all about this morning, and I thank you, Lord, laying it on your heart. I have a few questions this morning as we begin, and these questions are rhetorical questions, so you don't need to raise your hands or answer out loud. But do you have a need this morning? Do you have a prayer request? Is it something you need God to do in your life, or maybe it's something you need God to do in the life of someone who's close to you? Is it something you know that only God can do? Is it important to you? Is it urgent? And then this morning, do you understand that others also have prayer requests this morning? And do you believe that your need is more important or more urgent than others maybe in this room? And I ask those last two questions not to guilt trip you into thinking, oh, you're just thinking about yourself and you're not thinking about others. But I ask those questions because I believe it gets us into the mindset that Jairus had in this passage this morning. No doubt Jairus had a need. It was important. It was urgent. Yes, and he needed Jesus. Jairus had a daughter who was on her deathbed, and she could die at any moment. Jairus gets to Jesus, explains to him the situation, and Jesus agrees to go with him to his house to heal his daughter. But the problem is that on their way, the crowd thronged him. They were all trying to see Jesus. They were all trying to get to Jesus to hear his words and even to be healed of whatever ailments that others had. And it was in this moment that Jesus stops and he takes care of a need of somebody else before his. And as Jesus stops, he asks this question, "Who touched me?" And may I say, when God ever asks a question, it is not because he doesn't know the answer. When God asks a question, it's not because he was distracted. Who touched me? When God asked a question, it's because God always works intentionally and is never by mistake. And so by asking this question, Jesus was essentially calling for a timeout. He was on his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, but somebody touched him, and he needed to take care of this situation before he took care of Jairus' daughter. A lot of times in life, we don't understand why God calls a time out. But Lord, this need is urgent, it's important, and I need you to come now. I'd like to preach this morning on the subject, on the title, When Jesus Calls a Time Out. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that you'd help me in this moment. Lord, I believe this message is a message that you gave to me to be a help to me. But I also believe that this morning, this message can be a help to those who are here, those who made a decision to come to church today. God, I pray that I would step aside of myself and that I'd only say those things that are what you'd have me to say. And God, as we read this passage and we look into this passage and apply the truth to our hearts, I pray that it be a help to us and a comfort to us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The power of a timeout. Usually in sports, all right, we have timeout as a part of sports, basketball, football, whatever the sport is, and there is a certain advantage to having timeouts. There's a certain purpose to having timeouts, clearly. And some of those purposes, number one, might be if the team gets too far ahead. If the team has just gone on a run, especially in basketball, they're scoring baskets after baskets, and you just need to put a stop to it as soon as you can, the coach will call a timeout so that you can regather, regroup, refocus, try to get a game plan. A timeout is used to save time on the clock, especially in those last few seconds or minutes of the game. A timeout is used to inspire morale. It's to encourage. A coach can encourage his players by using a timeout to try to get your head back in the game. We can win this. We can do this. There's a lot of advantages to a timeout. But I think Jairus might have had a different idea of this timeout. He might have thought this timeout was more like, go to the corner and you're in trouble. Let me deal with this for a moment. That kind of timeout. As a parent would give to a child. Jairus, hold on. I know your need is urgent, but I need to deal with this. And so to understand why Jesus called a time out here, I'd like to get a little bit better understanding of the situation. We have here a man, his name is Jairus, and the Bible says that he is a ruler of the synagogue. He was a religious man. This man, most likely a Pharisee or closely tied to the Pharisees as a ruler of the synagogue, we understand that Pharisees in Jesus' day was not a fan of Jesus. We understand that Pharisees, they didn't like him very much because all Jesus seemed to do was to tear down at their traditions and their religious practices. And so we have Jairus here who comes to Jesus because why? He knows that he, Jesus, is the only one that could help him in this moment of need. Jairus, he puts his reputation aside as a ruler of the synagogue, and he goes to find Jesus. I also see here Jairus has a daughter who is dying. And not only does he have a daughter, but it's his only daughter. And those of you who have daughters in here this morning can understand maybe the heartbreak and the urgency of the matter that Jairus was experiencing when his only daughter was dying, and it could happen at any moment. It was beyond his control. He could do nothing about it. He could not heal his daughter. He needed to get to the one who could. And then I see that as Jairus, he is on his way home. But unfortunately, to his expectations, his journey home was obstructed. He had the master. The master agreed to come back with him to his house. He just needed to get him there. I ask you a question. Have you ever been in a hurry before? You ever been late to work? I gotta get there. I'm late. You ever been late to church? And isn't it amazing that every time you're in a hurry, that's when all the obstructions come out? I mean, the squirrels are coming out of the trees to get in your way. I mean, there's traffic on the road. That stoplight that was always green, for some reason today, it just has to be red, and it's not turning green for the life of it. It just happens. And we get in a hurry, and we need to be somewhere. but it seems like it's impossible to get there on time. I remember being in a hurry once. There's multiple times I've been in a hurry, but one in particular this morning. Otherwise, we'd be here all day. But I've been in a hurry once, and I remember it was back in November. This year, it'll be going on 3 years ago, when our daughter Olivia was born. Now, she's our third child, and I remember we had the dessert auction that Tuesday night. It was the 23rd, and then early the next morning, I remember waking up at an ungodly hour at 4 in the morning. Does anybody get up at 4 in the morning on a regular basis? Okay, a few of you? I am sorry, but I share some of the pain there. So I got up, and it was time to go to the hospital. Now, we were going to Rocky Mount, and so this kind of came as a surprise. I was still half asleep, and as we got into the car, I looked at the gas gauge, and you know what I saw? I didn't fill up the car with gas. I should have, but I didn't know we were going to have a baby tonight. And so I remember, I said, Grace, I'm so sorry. She's in the middle of labor. And I said, Grace, we got to stop somewhere for gas. And we were leaving the house at about five in the morning was when we ended up leaving the house. And not too many gas stations were open at the time. The one here on the corner was closed. And so we went to Sheets and we filled up. I didn't fill up all the way, just enough to get us there. And I wanted to make sure we got there on time. And with the history of our other children, we knew it probably wouldn't be long before Olivia came into this world. And so I remember getting on that interstate and I was driving, and I'm not going to tell you how fast I was driving. But I will say that maybe I-95 was named that for a reason. I remember going down that road and thinking, we got to get there. There's no way that we're not going to get there. I mean, we need to get there. And so we made, I remember calling the hospital and saying, hey, we are on our way, and we need someone to meet us because we need to make sure we kind of expedite the process. And so I remember getting there, and bless his heart, the lobby officer there, we said, hey, my wife's having a baby. We need to go quickly. And he said, yeah, I called for somebody, and she's on her way. And I'm thinking, that whoever that somebody was should have been meeting us at the car door and helping us inside. I mean, you don't understand the urgency here. And once the nurse got there, I said, look, my wife is having a baby, and she needs to get a room quick and get the doctor because the baby's coming. And I remember, you know, usually you have the formalities, right? You have the paperwork, and let's make sure you're in the system, and how do you feel right now, and you know, all that stuff. And I said, ma'am, we don't have any time for that. We need to see a doctor. And so Olivia came, and she was a healthy baby girl. And if I had time, I'd share all the stories of our children. They're all unique in their own way. But I tell you what, that was a special day. It was a stressful day. And I'll go on record to say, I said this in the early service, Pastor, and I ought to be fair to the 11 o'clock crowd. You know, husbands, they just don't get enough credit, you know? And the amount of stress, you laugh, but the amount of stress that I went through, I'm in trouble for that statement right there. Oh, Brother Curry, thank you for that second. Hopefully I get lunch this afternoon. I remember the nurse comes after Olivia's been born, and she says, hey, here's the papers that you needed to sign before you had the baby, but here's the papers. It gives us permission to treat you. And I said, well, yeah, it's a little late for that, but yeah, we'll go ahead and sign and give you permission, and the rest is history. And she's such a sweet girl, stubborn, like me. I wasn't going to say like her mother, but anyway, like me. I was in a hurry, and Jairus was in a hurry, but for the opposite reason. Olivia was coming into this world, and it was exciting. It was, I don't know what's going to happen. But yet, Jairus here, he's in a hurry because her daughter is dying. And I want to say that Jairus, who's in a hurry, a father who needs to get help for his daughter, needed Jesus. He didn't need the obstruction. He didn't need the distraction. He didn't need the timeout in his understanding. But as we continue to look at this story, we also see this woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And this woman was the opposite of Jairus. Jairus had the reputation, he had a family, he had a home. But this woman, she didn't have a reputation. As a matter of fact, she probably had a reputation, but she was only known by the issue that she had. Nobody paid attention to her. No family, no home. But what I see here is her approach. As she comes to Jesus, she comes behind Jesus. She is one who doesn't want to cause a show. She doesn't want to cause attention. I mean, she's been in the background for 12 years. She's been embarrassed for 12 years. She's tried to get help for 12 years. So she comes behind Jesus and just to touch the bottom of his garment. I see her approach. She didn't want to make a scene. She just wanted healing. That's the opposite of Naaman in the Old Testament. You remember Naaman? He had leprosy, and he heard about Elisha, the prophet in Israel, who could heal him of his leprosy. Man, he came with a whole caravan. He had everybody coming. Hey, let's go knock on Elisha's door. Here we go. Elisha, I'm a captain. I need healing. And remember, Elisha's servant comes and to the door and gives instructions. Naaman, I was told by Elisha that you need to go to the dirty Jordan River and to wash 7 times and you'll be healed of your leprosy. Well, Naaman didn't like that at all. I mean, he was a captain. He had reputation. He wouldn't be humiliated like that. He thought Elisha would just, you know, strike him and he'd be healed. But yet it wasn't like that. However, it was opposite for this lady as she comes. She doesn't want to cause attention. She just wants healing. I also see her faith. How do I know she had faith? Well, we find that she touched the border of his garment. She said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. That's called faith. I also see that Jesus said she had faith. Look with me there at verse 48 in chapter 8 there, verse 48. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. I see her faith. And then I also see her healing. Look back at verse 44. She came behind him, touched the border of his garment, and immediately, her issue of blood staunched. I see her healing was immediate. I mean, instantaneous right then. As soon as she made contact with the clothes of Jesus, that was when the healing happened. It was immediate. It wasn't like, Jesus, I need healing. And Jesus says, all right, here's this prescription. Go ahead and take this, and in about an hour, you should feel better. No, it was immediate. And not only was her healing immediate, but we find that it was whole. It was complete. It wasn't a partial healing. Can you imagine if Jesus healed partially? You have the blind man who's blind. He said, all right, your one eye is healed. Come back tomorrow. We'll take care of that other eye. The blind man who crawls to Jesus and Jesus heals that one leg. All right, you're healed. Come on, hop back next week. We'll take care of that other leg. The one who can't hear and he just heals one ear and come back later. We'll pray about that other one. It's not a partial healing. When Jesus heals, when Jesus did a miracle in the Bible, guess what? It was complete. It was whole. And her healing, it was immediate, and it was complete. And while everyone is so caught up in the miracle of this lady, that she experienced this wonderful miracle, I can't help but wonder what Jairus was thinking. Here's his daughter, dying. Jesus is delaying to heal somebody else. I wonder what he was thinking. It was an emergency. Maybe he thought, oh, that's great, this lady got healed, but My daughter may not be healed if you don't hurry, Jesus. Isn't that like us? And the danger is when we go through a storm and when we go through a valley in life, the danger is this, and this is not to belittle any storm or any valley that anyone is going through, but the danger if you're going through it is that you'll forget that Jesus loves you. And not only that, but you'll fail to show His love to somebody else. When things don't turn out the way we plan, we become frustrated. But we must understand that God is God. And He's not limited by our reasoning. He's not limited by our understanding. And He is not limited to our parameters. It's like we take this box and this is how we see the situation going. Lord, I have a need and this is how it's going to be met. And we make this box for God and say, God, here's the box. I need you to work inside the box. And when God doesn't do that, we get frustrated. Oh, God. But you know what God specializes in? Specializes in working outside of the box. We don't need to limit God to our own finite understanding, but we can just have faith that God is going to take care of every need and every situation we have. We may not know how it's going to go, but God does, and He works outside of the box. However, I don't believe that Jairus had this mindset at all, this frustrated, and I can't believe that Jesus isn't in as much of a hurry as I am. No, I think Jairus had a different mindset. I think Jairus was a little bit more patient. I think Jairus just kind of believed that Jesus would work it out. Because if Jairus would have said something, if he would have interrupted and said, lady, that's nice, I'm glad you have a great miracle story, but Jesus needs to come with me, I think it would have been written in Scripture, don't you? But yet it seems that Jairus here, he's the silent man in this situation. He's the silent observer. And as far as we can tell, Jairus didn't speak up. He didn't say anything. He just let Jesus do what he was purposing to do. Jairus may not have wished for this interruption, and neither do we. But he certainly didn't complain about it. Jairus may not have understood why the timeout happened, but he believed that Jesus knew what he was doing. Amen. And so very quickly, as my message and application will be just a few minutes, I want you to understand why God gives us timeouts. How can we understand when Jesus calls a timeout? Number one out of two. Number one, God has His own timetable. God doesn't work within the limits of our time and our understanding of time. God has His own timetable. God's never late. He's never in a hurry. God is never inconvenienced. And God is never too busy. God is always on time. He has His own timetable. And number two, understanding God's timeouts, we must understand that God not only has His own timetable, but God specializes in overtime. God specializes in overtime. That's another sports term, overtime. It's time outside of regulation. And God specializes in that. When we think it's too late. Let's continue reading the story in verse 50. We have in verse 49, as that individual comes from the ruler of the synagogue's house and says, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. In verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, He answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Amen. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. Verse 53, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. God specializes in overtime. Amen. She was dead, but not for long. God specializes in overtime. Lazarus was dead too. He was dead for 4 days. We spoke on that in teen class this morning. But it wasn't too late for Jesus. It's amazing. When Jesus got news that his friend Lazarus was sick, you know what his response was? He waited. What's our response? When somebody is sick, we have a family member, a friend who is sick, and we know this sick is unto death, what do? We drop everything. We got to get there. We got to be a help. We just got to be there for support and to pray and to help, whatever we can do. But Jesus receives this news that his dear friend, whom he loved, was sick. And the Bible says he waited. He abode 2 days still in the same place. Why would Jesus do that? Why would he wait to go to the aid of his friend? Because God works on his own timetable. And because God specializes in overtime. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. His body was decomposing, but it still wasn't too late for Jesus. Others may laugh. Others may say it's too late. Just as Jairus had those at the house, they were weeping and wailing for the loss of his daughter. In Bible times, they would often hire professional mourners to mourn for the loss of their family members, and they would weep and wail and try to be a help to their family as they grieve. And it might have been the case in this situation where these mourners and people who had gathered who weren't family, they were mourning. But when Jesus said, oh, she's not dead, she's asleep, she's taking a nap, those were the ones that were laughing him to scorn. So Jesus puts everybody out. He keeps three of his closest disciples with him. Her parents are there. And Jesus raises that young girl from the dead.
Amen.
God specializes in overtime. Others may know the facts. They know reality, but they don't know the future.
Amen.
So don't let your knowledge of logical reality keep you from believing in God's ability to do the miraculous.
Amen.
Don't let your knowledge of logical reality keep you from believing in God's ability to do the miraculous. God is not limited by our circumstances. So my last three questions and we'll be done. Part of application. What is required of us to see Jesus work a miracle in our lives today? What's required? Simple answer, starts with an F. Faith.
Amen.
That's it. What did Jesus say to Jairus as he was given the news that his daughter was dead? Jairus, fear not, believe only. So what kind of faith should we have? Faith is believing in God. But what kind of faith should we have? We should have a fearless faith.
Amen.
Jesus tells Jairus to fear not. As a matter of fact, those two words, fear not, are found over and over and over again in Scripture.
Amen.
We find that God told Abraham to fear not. We find that God told Hagar to fear not. God told Isaac to fear not. God told Moses to fear not. God told Joshua to fear not. God told the children of Israel to fear not.
Amen.
God told Daniel to fear not. God told Zacharias to fear not. God told Mary to fear not. God told the shepherds to fear not. God told Jairus to fear not. God told Paul to fear not. And God told John the Revelator in the book of Revelation to fear not. And so, child of God today, fear not, believe only. It's a fearless faith and it is a simple faith. Believe only. You believe God can? Just believe it. And God will take care of it. So, my next question, what limits God? What's required of us to see God work in our life? That's faith. So what limits God from working in our life? It's the opposite, right? It's a lack of faith. We find in Scripture in Matthew 13:58, Jesus goes back to his hometown. And it's recorded in Scripture, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. What limits God? It's our lack of faith that God can work it out. Don't concern yourself with the faithlessness of others. Only believe. And so, the last question is this. What is the result of having faith that God will supply your needs? If you have faith, what's the result? We find it in verse 48 as Jesus healed this woman with the issue of blood. He says unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Amen. When we have faith in God, the result is this. It's threefold. Good comfort. Fulfillment. Her faith made her whole. Go in peace. Good comfort. Fulfillment. And peace. When you're going through a hard time in your life, guess what? If you just have faith to believe God, the result, good comfort. Amen. Fullness, wholeness, completeness. There are so many people in this world today, they are looking for that fulfillment. The tragedy in their life has ripped a hole in their heart, and they're looking for anything to fill it. But Jesus is the only one that can. When you have faith in God, you get that fulfillment, that completeness, and you get peace because God is a God of peace. Do you need God to work a miracle in your life this morning? Do you need a mountain moved? Mark 11:22, Jesus answering saith unto them, his disciples, have faith in God. You say, well, Pastor Nathan, I don't even know who Jesus is. I don't have a relationship with him. I don't even know for sure that I go to heaven. How can I deal with the things that happen in my life when I don't know those things? And the answer is, you're absolutely right. You need to know Jesus. Amen. And so maybe this morning your faith journey begins with accepting the one who can take care of it all for you. He can take care of your eternal destination, and he can take care of the things that we experience in this life. Have faith in God.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Coburnack. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.